opportunities, or not, in the new tax plan. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. There is one small section of the new tax law that could, according to the lawmakers who wrote it, be worth a lot to chronically poor, underdeveloped areas in the U.S. The idea is to use tax incentives to draw business and real estate development to places that need it, so-called opportunity zones. As Marketplace's Ryan Kailath reports, it's not a new idea.
It's an ongoing question: how to transform persistently poor neighborhoods or towns where private business just won't invest.
I would be a very rich woman if I had that answer. And I am not.
Urban planner Rachel Weber at the University of Illinois says tax breaks have been tried over and over again with little success. Tim Weaver at SUNY Albany calls these enterprise or opportunity or promise zones a zombie idea.
Despite all the evidence showing that they're not terribly effective, it keeps reemerging in various guises.
He says such programs don't generate new economic activity. They often just push business to move existing capital from one location to another. The same jobs move and the same people with them. No net gain. David Newmark at UC Irvine studied a California effort and found enterprise zones had no short or long-term effect.
I don't want to take all the credit, but they did kill the program soon after that, which I actually think was a good idea.
Details of how the new federal opportunity zones would work are not clear. In New York, I'm Ryan Kailath from Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.1%. Dow and S&P futures are up in the 0.2% range, with the Dow future up 64 points. NASDAQ futures up 0.4%. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.87%. And oil prices have hit their highest level in 2 weeks. Possible causes include rising tensions between Israel and Iran. Also, Saudi Arabia's oil minister has signaled in recent days that he wants OPEC to tighten production to raise prices. Bloomberg reports the kingdom wants oil prices about 13% higher than they are right now. Presidential budgets are not law, but they are a reflection of a president's priorities. President Trump's 2019 budget released last week is full of telling nuggets about what plans the current administration has in store over the next few years. In Marketplace's Erica Barris over at the Wealth and Poverty Desk has spent some time sifting through that budget. Good morning, Erica.
Hey, good morning.
So in a world where this budget became reality, who would be the most affected?
So again, this is, you know, like a fiscal ideological template. This is like a political wish list. So this is not necessarily going to become true. But if you're looking at this budget, the people who'd be most affected are, without a doubt, probably seniors. One of the big parts of the budget is that the Medicare drug benefit program is going to be reduced in a lot of ways. Costs are going to go up, and then spending for Medicare is going to be reduced by $236 billion over the next decade. And then there's some other, you know, elements like block grants and freezing funding for older Americans. And that infinitely matters because, you know, we're a rapidly aging country and the population's just going to continue getting older and going to continue increasing. And, you know, Americans live longer than they did before. When we talk about seniors now, people are seniors for many decades. So we're talking about many generations of seniors who could be potentially affected by this.
What about food stamps? That got a lot of attention this past week when Budget Director Mick Mulvaney suggested the government send boxes of packaged food to poor families instead of cash.
So that did get a lot of attention. And I think one of the main parts of that that got the most attention is this idea that it's a shift from individual spending to government spending. The government will decide what food you get. The government will decide when you get it and how you get it. But also attached to that, you know, SNAP is a program that's used by more than 45 million people.
SNAP is the food stamps program.
Yes, it is a food stamps program. And the way it's used now is you get like a voucher or something like a debit card that you go to the grocery store and you decide what you're going to buy with it. Whereas this proposal was you're going to get a box in the mail or you'll have go pick it up somewhere and it'll be about half of what your monthly ration, so to speak, will be in there.
So seniors likely affected by this. Food stamps change in how the government runs that. What else struck you as particularly telling in this proposal?
Well, there were, you know, some things like, you know, there are deep cuts to Medicaid. There are cuts to the subsidies that people on private insurance plans would get if you're on the marketplace, the Affordable Care Act marketplace. But then there are also other cuts that aren't inherently immediately going to affect social services, but they will in the long run. So things like cuts to programs that promote like upward mobility, you know, cuts to loan forgiveness programs and job training programs. And those are the kind of cuts that can have like really long lasting effects.
Marketplace's Erica Barris, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Technically, President's Day was originally intended to celebrate George Washington's birthday, February 22nd. Then it was changed to also celebrate Lincoln's birthday, February 12th, we think. These days, President's Day is widely understood to just be about celebrating all presidents. 13 of them, by the way, have presidential libraries to jog everyone's memory. Marketplace's Renato Sago has a quick look at the economics of two of them.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
You'll find at Ronald Reagan's presidential library the dark blue suit he wore when he spoke in West Berlin in 1987. The country's most popular presidential library is an hour outside of L.A. with 440,000 visitors a year. But there's one challenge, says John Heibisch, who runs the Reagan Foundation.
Trying to find the best and most interesting special exhibits we can to keep people's interest piqued.
The Herbert Hoover Library and Museum in tiny West Branch, Iowa, gets just 40,000 visitors a year. Visitors can see a replica of Hoover's apartment during the Great Depression. The library wants to renovate in order to rent out its facilities, says Executive Director Tom Schwartz.
It was not designed to maximize income.
The 14th Presidential Library for President Barack Obama is scheduled to open in Chicago in 2021. I'm Renata Sago for Marketplace.
And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.